ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
For the last few classes, we were discussing certain types of upasanas, contemplations. There are three types of upasanas mentioned here. The Sanskrit name Upanishad gives for the upasanas is called samajnaha, means a strong commandment, irrevocable commandment. Anybody, whether a person wants worldly happiness or spiritual happiness, the person has to do these contemplations. That is the only way. And just to remind you, what does a person get by doing these contemplations? That's it. I told several times, or what the Upanishad said, there are two types of results. For those spiritual people, remember, most of the people are not spiritual. They are religious. For them, what they consider to be most important desires or obtainment of objects, usually the welfare of the body and the mind, and generally happiness, satisfaction, etc., they can be obtained by these very same contemplations. After all, I just give you an example. Millions of people visit the temple of Venkateshwara at Tirupati. Do you think all are trying to die to get moksha, liberation? No. Most of them want the fulfillment of what they think are the most desirable objects. Either name, fame, winning an election, passing an examination, getting married, getting children, getting divorce, etc., etc. But then, these upasanas have a beautiful, though indirect, effect. Slowly, they purify the person and make the person or endow the person right understanding that these are all temporary desires. The final desire should be only for spiritual progress. And that is called evolution, even though the biologists do not understand. Nowhere do they mention what is the goal, purpose of this evolution. Is it to reach God, or is it to become something superhuman? They can't imagine. It is only the scripture can give us. Why? Because whatever is not within the realm of these five sense organs and all our knowledge, whether from the science, technology, biology, zoology, any science, it is only completely greatly limited by the five sense organs. What the five sense organs can experience, we want to enhance them, because there is a strong belief that if the sense organs are not functioning, mind also will not function. Therefore, keeping up these five sense organs and sharpening them if possible, wherever, whenever possible, and the corresponding objects which will not give tiredness, weakness to the sense organs, but we can go on enjoying as long as possible. This is the vision so far of all the scientists materialists. Why? Because they do not experience anything beyond the sense organs. But a person may not experience what is outside the five sense organs, but there are people who strongly believe that there is much higher realm or realms far beyond anyone's imagination, and life there is more and more worthy. So therefore, they cherish a deep desire, slowly strengthening the desire through the evolutionary process. Finally, they say, I want only God. That means, I want to become God. That means, Aham Brahmasmi. So, every upasana is having a beautiful result. And in fact, both results, even for worldly people, if they faithfully follow the scriptural injunctions and avoid all those who are forbidden by the scriptures, then not only they get all the results they desire, but their minds become purified and they become more and more capable of understanding, and according to their understanding, their desires also will develop. This is a very normal process. If you do not know something called a car exists, the desire for a car never arises in your mind. But the moment you understand that a car can make my life much more pleasant, just as an example only I am giving, because any worldly object can give both the results, opposite results. The same car can take you very fast to some other place, but can kill you also very fast. Accidents can happen. Suffering can come. So happiness along with unhappiness, they both go together. Good and evil, ever these are called pairs, and these pairs are inevitable, inseparable, but man understands through experience, and the scripture wants to help us, bless us by teaching the highest goal of life. So these upasanas, anybody can practice. In fact, we are unconsciously practicing these desires at all. Whenever there is rainfall and less than expected, O Lord, please give more rain. Water scarcity, give more rain. So, whenever any season is not giving its expected results, then we go on wishing. So, these natural nature includes all of us. That is the very important point the Upanishad wants to make. This nature is not separate from us. Gods are not separate from us. The world is not separate from us. All of us, gods, world, and each one of our individuals, we all form part of that triangle called Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidevika. So, practicing, even placing so-called blind faith in the scriptures, it is quite possible. Scientifically, any experiment must give the same result, however number of times it is repeated, by whomsoever it is repeated. So even in the modern world also, we all wish, Deshayam Kshobharavito Brahmanaha Santu Nirbhayaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Unde Mataram. So everybody wishes. Only thing is, we are so selfish, only let us have, let me have, let others not have. And that will not work. Gods consider all of us as their children only. So we have seen, this is Manushi Samagnaha, worship every part of your body as the manifestation of Brahman. Then we are seeing Adhidevika Upasana. That is the natural forces. And as a sample, just a few have been enumerated here. So what are these things? These are called Adhidaivika Upasanani. That is contemplations with regard to the presiding deities. They are presiding And when we contemplate upon them with love, with faith, and live the life according to their expectations, then the results are bound to come. There is no way they can be stopped. So what are the things? Tripti riti vrishtav. So whenever there is proper rain, vrishti means rain. Whenever there is proper rain, because rain also can be improper, unseasonal rains, too much of rain, too less of rain, and where it should be raining are needed, it doesn't. And where it is needed, it doesn't rain. Elsewhere, where it is not needed, it rains more. So, ativrishti, too much of rain, anavrishti, no rain at all. No, all these are under the control of the presiding deities. That is the first faith we have to develop if we want to have faith in God. In fact, God only is manifesting in these forms. That is very important. So whenever there is rain at the proper season, proper time, in proper quantity, no more, no less, then tremendous satisfaction. The whole nature, not only human beings, every animal recognizes. That is why the frogs go on creating so much of noise. They are so happy. We can now sport. We can also multiply. So the birds, insects, any animal, and they just go and soak themselves whenever they find a rain after the absence of several months or even several years. Some of the fish had developed an extraordinary capacity to be hanging between life and death, and all because this hibernation, in a state of hibernation, all because there are no life-sustaining material available. But after several years, as soon as a dry, completely dry as a dust pond has been filled, immediately these come to life and just go on croaking, crying. The crickets will produce its own noise. Frogs will be croaking. Marvelous things are happening. Every creature knows, more or less, less or more, what is happiness and how, when happiness can be obtained. Even plants appear to be so dancing with joy. Triptiriti vrishtav. So we have to meditate. What is this meditation? I will just give you only a sample that, O Lord, it is thy grace because of which we are getting this required water, not to, not pipe water, but akasha jala, water from the rains. It has a special capacity, special quality, special power, special result it will give. And man becomes a jiva. Every jivatma becomes absolutely as if it is completely satisfied. Triptiriti vrishtav. And all of us require required amount of strength to work, to die, to procure food, to digest, so that life can be lived very well. And it is said, these people, rishis, they understood how much power is compressed in this lightning. Vidyut means lightning. Normally, thunder, lightning, and rain, all these go together. So, balamiti vidyuti. So, there is, power is there, and nobody, no scientist has ever discovered, whenever there is terrible lightning, what happens to the discharge of all that power? Is anybody connecting it, that it goes and then stores itself someplace, and then it will release itself whenever creatures need it? We should not understand only electric power. Any type of strength, whether it is prana shakti or muscular power, or the power to see, power to hear, etc. So every sense organ requires its own strength. Balam iti vidyuti. One should meditate on Brahman as satisfaction in rain, as power in lightning. Yesha iti pasushu. Fame in acquiring wealth called cattle. In the olden days, So, when a person does this particular upasana, he will prosper. He will get plenty of wealth. Why cattle? Because in those days, that is their very life, agriculture. And these animals, especially cows, they nourish babies, especially motherless babies. And even today, we cannot do all our ice creams. Everything comes only from this milk. So, when a person acquires these things, rather, these things can be obtained by whatever righteous means. He is a person to be applauded. And when a person has plenty, he can also share it with others. So he will get, he is not only a wealthy person. All wealthy persons do not become famous. Only a few become famous. Why? Because they don't share. They don't care. Sharing and caring is a very important part. Yajna, dana and tapas. Sacrifice, that is offering our thanks to God, and it also means sacrificing our life for serving other people through karma yoga. So, that is one meaning. Worshipping gods, acknowledging our thankfulness to them, and more dependence upon them. All these things when a person does, then along with that comes, because he will be sharing, God will give him more. What is a person going to do with more? More than what one requires. So he goes on sharing, caring, and then slowly people may not come and thank, but he will be, many people will pray, this is a good person. May God preserve him. So yashayiti pasushu and jyotiriti nakshatreshu. This is what we have talked in our, at the end of our class. All the stars that we see, how many stars? Countless. Billions and billions and billions. And they are all emitting tremendous splendor, light. That is their glory. And daytime, a big star like our sun gives the light. And at night time, these stars will give. Even though we don't say the moon is a star, but in fact, it is also should be considered as a star. At least Hindus consider the light giver and it soothes. So it makes a person cool, happy, like marble. So moon, sunlight has its own function. Moonlight has its own function. But not only that, our rishis have found out that the moonlight aids the growth of every plant. That is called aushadhi. So mo bhutva rasatmakaha. I become, if a mango full of sweet juice is because of the effect of the moon. And the moon is considered as the presiding deity of the mind. So if it is in the right proportion, then the minds of these contemplators of the moon as Brahman, they are the happiest persons on earth. Not only that, they will be born in happy families. They will be coming into contact with happy families. They will be marrying into happy families, man or woman. Their children will produce only happiness to them, not stomachache or headache to them. So you see, so much of meaning is there. But we only see the physical light. But even the physical light, if it is not sufficient, then we can be victims of a disease. There is a disease called sadness. What is that? Seasonal affectation disorder. When sunlight is very less, then people suffer from this. Don't see the sun for some time. Don't see the moon for some time. Then the mind will develop. We need to be in constant contact with the nature. The more we are in contact, the happier, healthier a person will be. Contact, I mean, in every way. So, we have to contemplate jyotiriti nakshatreshu. So, what happens? The persons will get the results promised in the scripture. So, what happens? Satisfaction when there is rain, tremendous strength, when we contemplate on the lightning, and when there are plenty of healthy cattle, then one can worship God to heart's content, especially in the olden days. And then when we contemplate on these stars, then many hidden secrets will be revealed to us. So, whoever worships, he gets two types of results. First result is a promised results: name, fame, happiness, strength, splendor. A person who contemplates the stars will also appear like a star for other people. So, all these are all worldly results. But along with that, the very performance of these rituals will only produce tremendous amount of the what is called purification, concentration, and deeper and deeper understanding of the scriptural teachings. Our capacity to understand what the teacher is teaching. Teacher and scriptures, they teach the same thing. There is no difference. So, what happens? Along with the practice, not only he becomes a worldly happy person, but at the same time, the fitness to progress in spiritual life and to become one with God. After all these are glories of God. And therefore, all these will also produce those very glories. And we become like God. And ultimately, we become completely one with God. And there is no separation. And that realization, Aham Brahmasmi, will come. This is called Jnana Yogyata, fitness to take up higher types of contemplations, upasanas, will be the spiritual result and actual fructification of these upasanas in the form of keeping the body and mind and environment and this whole world will be a very helpful environment for a spiritual person. All these will come. Then the next upasana is Sarvam iti akashe brahma upasita. Here the Upanishad enters into the most subtlest form of upasana. It is called akasha upasana. What does the Upanishad say? Sarvam akashe iti brahma upasita. Akasha is Brahman and everything is in this akasha brahma. Not only everything is in Akasha Brahma, everything is Akasha Brahma. If you remember still, we have seen in the Brahmanandavalli, Akasha is the first manifestation of the Atman. And from Akasha, Akasha is born, we say, but Akasha grossified itself a little more, became the air, Vayu Devata. Akasha Devata, we should not say Akasha space, because even the usage of the word can have tremendous effect upon us. So when we see this Akasha Devata, Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, Jala Devata, Prithvi Devata, the meaning and the effect will be totally different. So from Akasha Devata has come nearer to us, like a 7 feet tall father, bending down absolutely so that the child will feel very comfortable. He will not feel frightened, etc. So this Akasha Devata became Vayu Devata. Vayu Devata became Agni Devata, fire god. Fire god became the Jala Devata in the form of rain, oceans and rivers. In this connection we have to remember, we are all remembering only the rivers. But the rivers are coming only from the ocean. And the ocean sustains infinite number of life creatures. And how these oceans are influencing the climatic changes, that also we have to take into notice. So, the Jala Devata became the Prithvi Devata. Without all these five, creation would not exist. That is why you take anything in this creation, it is nothing but Akasha Devata manifesting first as Vayu, then as Agni, then as waters, then as Prithvi, There is nothing called living and non-living, because if the cause is consciousness, the effect also must be consciousness only. Even if when we see that this person is not alive, but there is life inside. Even if this frog for 7 years, 8 years, it will be appearing as completely dead. No instrument will detect even the slightest indication of life, but it is still alive. So all these things, akasha is the cause of everything. So let us learn how to look upon everything as akasha, and when we reach that, then we understand, we have a best understanding of what is Brahman, because Brahman is the last step. Once we succeed in thinking of akasha, then we become capable of thinking of Brahman. But directly, we cannot think of Brahman. In another way, we can say that this equation, Atmana Akasha Sambhutaha, this akasha is the manifestation of Atman. We can also say in the same way, in every way that we say, that it is the Brahma, it is the Vishnu, and it is the Shiva. So akasha is none other than Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, and all the Panchadevatas are present in all the three bodies, the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. Everything is there. Akasha is everything, and we cannot escape akasha. Akasha only is manifesting as me, as you, as the rock, as the river, as the forest, as the Himalayan mountains, as everything. There is nothing outside akasha. Not only that, if this akasha doesn't support, suppose there is no space, would you be able to construct a house? Suppose there is no space in your almirah stack, can you put anything there? If there is no space on your table, can you put anything? If there is no space in your garage, can you park your car there? No, nothing happens. Therefore, akasha, it is sustaining, it is creating, it is maintaining. Everything comes out of akasha and everything goes back to akasha. This is how we have to contemplate on akasha. And of course, our Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta especially, talks of akasha, certain common features which are very close between Brahman's characteristics and the characteristics of the akasha space. What are they? Both akasha and Brahman are invisible, amurta. Both are non-pollutable. You can't contaminate space. Both are non-divisible. You can't take a knife and I am cutting this space. We are trying our level best. We put some order. This is my country. This is your country. No. Parts of your country belongs to me, or your whole country belongs to me. So one country policy. We see out of terrible greed, even the people who are living peacefully, there are modern rakshasas, demons, who will not allow others to live in peace. Neither they live in peace, nor they allow others to live in peace. So the earth cannot be divided. The whole earth is one, and then slowly people came. Remember the nomadic civilization? They did not divide any part of the earth. They just move where food is available and population made it possible. So, akasha is indivisible. Why? Because it is ekam. Both are one. Both are non-dual. Non-dual means indivisible. And both are all-pervading. Atman is all-pervading and akasha is also sarvagatam, all-pervading. Both are sarva-adharam, support. In fact, our birth, what we call from Brahma, we are born, and Brahma in the form of Vishnu sustains us, and Vishnu in the form of Rudra takes us back to the state of Brahma, and again the same rigmarole starts. both are ativa sukshma, extraordinarily difficult to comprehend. This sukshma is not a material, because according to physical science, the atom, of course nowadays they have divided into packets of energy, etc. They have also created fancy names for all that, packets of energy, whatever you call it. But that is only the highest limitation of human understanding. Beyond that, we know nothing, just as we cannot imagine what is a black hole without a white hole, which I mentioned in my last class. Therefore, sukshmati sukshmam. That is why in the Upanishads, it is greater than the greatest, mahato mahiyan, anoraniyan, smaller than the smallest. How much small can our minds comprehend? Because mind also has a terrible limitation even to think about it. It is incomprehensible to the sense organs, including the mind. But through these upasanas, what upasana? Akasha and Brahman. Akasha is invisible. Akasha is non-pollutable. Akasha is indivisible. Akasha is one and without second. Akasha is all-pervading. Akasha is the support of all. In fact, support means it is only manifesting, as I just now we said, in the form of everything in this world. So, it is not only creating, it is sustaining, and like a mother keeping the fetus in the garbha, everything it is doing is akasha, and it is not comprehensible. That is why eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. So, by these contemplations, we can train our mind to meditate upon akasha. Can we truly do this kind of meditation with these qualities just now we discussed? No. But then, our mind becomes pure. Then, intuitively we can understand. We may not be able to demonstrate it to anybody else. Then what happens? Our mind also becomes sarvadhara, invisible, non-pollutable, means most pure, indivisible, like Brahman. This is me, this is my parent, this is my family. No, everything is indivisible only. I am all-pervading, so there is no place for selfishness. I am sarva-adhara, just as each one of us becomes support to each one of us. And sukshmati sukshmam, anoraniyam, not possible for this mind, but intuitively we understand that fact. So, as the adage goes, as is our upasana, so is also our nature. Just to remind you, Sri Ramakrishna became Hanuman, Radha, Sita, Rama, Krishna, etc., etc. So, this contemplation on this space, Akasha Upasana, space means Akasha Devata, helps us to understand Brahman, which is only one step higher than Akasha. Therefore, Akasha Upasana is very important. And only, I will give you one small example. Akasha is Sarvagatam. Akasha is everywhere. Even though we are saying that, we are not able to connect. How does an ordinary person like me, how do I become sarva-vyapaka, all-pervading? See, you are a devotee, then you pray to God, then you go to Varanasi. You see the same God whom you have visited in your native place, the Shiva temple. You don't say, this Shiva is different, separate from that Shiva. Then you go to America, there also you go to a Shiva temple, same Shiva. You have an not clearly thought out idea of sarva vyapaka, but you are doing it all the time. He is beyond time and beyond space. Wherever you are, he is there. Whenever you want, he is available. That idea is there. That is what this Taittiriya Upanishad wants to convey to us, because the truth, whether it is 10,000 years back or now, will not change. So, like other upasanas, this upasana also gives ihaloka phala. So tangible results and also jnana yogyata. So a person becomes as vast as akasha. So that is the result. Both results will come automatically. And Sri Ramakrishna refers to this quite a number of times. He says, imagine yourself as a bird flying joyfully in infinite space. He says, do you know another way how a jnani meditates? Think of infinite akasha and a bird flying there joyfully, spreading its wings. There is the chidakasha and the atman means jivatma, the bird. The bird is not imprisoned in a cage. It flies in the chidakasha. Its joy is limitless. And then Sri Ramakrishna says, well, some say that my soul going into samadhi flies about like a bird in the Mahakasha, the infinite space. Now, just a hint. Try to imagine when you read these words of Sri Ramakrishna's experience, own experience, what do you think? What type of thoughts are passing through Sri Ramakrishna's mind when he is meditating on this analogy of a bird flying endlessly? You have to imagine there is a falcon. It is waiting for these kind of birds to pounce upon and to kill. No, just one bird, no more birds, is endless space. Will it fall down after getting tired? No, it cannot fall down because it is infinite. Where does it fall? There must be some place where it has to fall down. So in infinity, you don't fall down at all. So try to imagine what Sri Ramakrishna was trying to think about, what this meditation upasana on this is concerned. Of course, we know that aesthetic experience he had when he was 7 or 8 years old. And you have to imagine, is it only the physical beauty he was contemplating? Or is he also imagining a bird so joyfully flying in this fearless akasha? Just imagine. Sri Ramakrishna had practiced these kind of upasanas. We have to understand. Sri Ramakrishna practiced Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atidhi Devo Bhava. How do we know? Because the way he looked upon himself in relationship with his parents and with his gurus, with anybody who helped him, what type of relationship he cherished towards them, it is the Divine Mother only who is manifesting in this form and is protecting her child. So, we have got 6 more meditations on this Akasha Brahman. So earlier, said what is called Triptirishtavishtav and natural forces. Now directly on Akasha Brahman, there are 6 meditations are there. What are they? Akasha as Pratishta support, Akasha as the most glorious thing, Tanmaha, Akasha as Tanmana, most intelligent and discerning mind. Akasha means Akasha Brahma, Akasha Devata, Tan Namaha, in the form of service, serving everybody. Akasha, finally, is a Brahma, the greatest. And Akasha is Tad Brahmana Parimara. You'll be free then from all enmity. So, we will take up a few we will discuss in today's class. Tat pratishtha iti upasita. Pratishthavan bhavati. Let a upasakar sadhaka contemplate on this Akasha Devata as the support and he will be supported. Earlier also, we discussed that one. A whole creation comes out from him. Whole creation is sustained by Akasha Devata. And ultimately, everything in this world returns back and again comes out. Again returns back until one realizes, I am none other than Brahman. So, pratishtha means support. And whoever deeply contemplates upon Akasha Devata as this pratishtha on Brahma, supporting Brahma. What is supporting? That is, whoever makes us what we are, keeps us what we are. That is called supporting. If God has not created me, I would not have existed. If God is not sustaining me, supporting me in the form of my parents and then in the form of every creature. Remember, Panchamaha Yajnas. Every creature is supporting me and it is my duty to support everybody else. And when I become old, if I do this contemplation, everybody, God himself, in the form of the neighbors, in the form of children, in the form of unselfish human beings, or in the form of the Florence Nightingale, or in the form of loving people, they give throughout life until we shed this body, support will come. Whoever does this upasana, he will get the support. But you also have to remember, he will also get what is called that he will be supporting others, just like Akasha. The effect of upasana is the contemplator becomes similar to that which he is contemplating. So he becomes Akasha. Akasha Upasaka becomes Akasha. Since Akasha supports everything, Akasha supports him also as an individual. So he becomes both the supporter as well as supported. So, in fact, every bhakta, as I said, thinks of God as all-pervading only, Akasha, and then wherever the devotee happens to be, God has to be there because he requires support. So devotee supports God by lovingly contemplating, and God supports the devotee by lovingly looking upon him. So this is what we have to do. And then just see what happens when a person does this one, this Akasha Gunas. Then he becomes like an Akasha, a most fit person for spiritual life. And this person who becomes most fit to step into that Brahma, Supreme Brahma Upasana, Parabrahma Upasana, he is called a sannyasi. Not simply donning some ochre cloth. Just to recollect how Totapuri Maharaj, an experiencer of Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he came to Dakshineswar propelled by the will of the Divine Mother because he has to guide another aspiring soul to the same state that he experienced. And then the very first look, nobody could recognize Ramakrishna. At first look, he looks like a madcap. But Totapuri Maharaj realized, how is it possible in this tantra-ridden country called Vangadesha for this kind of person to be, even to be found, one person, and without any pre-introductions or anything, he just went there and said that, I see you are a most fit person and I would like to give you sannyasa. I would not live here, stay here for more than 3 days. Would you like to take sannyasa or not? We know the rest of the story. But how did Sri Ramakrishna become a most fit person? Because he must have been contemplating. Upon whom? Upon Mother Kali. Who is Mother Kali? Pure consciousness. So he must have done upasana in various forms. She is Pratishtha. She is my mother and she only gave me birth. She is only sustaining me. She will take me into her lap at the end. She is the only supporter and I am a child. So all the upasanas combined there, we can attribute to that Divine Mother. And we will also cite some examples whenever the topic comes. I am taking time for these upasanas because the inner essence of these contemplations have not changed. Only our concept of what to contemplate upon have taken slightly different shapes, different forms, different names. But the same Vedic concepts are still applicable even for us. So we will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Pada Padme Tayo Sritvaha Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.